So thank you very much for inviting me. It's a great honor for me to lecture in world famous Fields Institute. So I'll be talking about anions. So what's anions? So anions, this is an idea coming from particle physics. In particle physics, there is two basic different particles, kind of particles, bosons and fermions. If we think in terms of many-body quantum mechanics, for bosonic particles, many-body wave function is fully symmetric in its space coordinates. On the other hand, fermionic is fully anti-symmetric. So anion is something in between. That's a general trend. Why is this important? Recently, this topological quantum computation came up, and they're going to use fractional quantum Hall effects. And in fractional quantum Hall effects, the excitations which they're about to move in order to do the computation, they are anions. They have these fractional statistics. So this is essential for anions. People who do topological quantum computation, they wrote many reviews. And what's clear from their reviews that, okay, fractional quantum Hall effects, this is the following thing. We take gallium arsenide, apply strong magnetic fields, so electrons concentrated on the surface. So this is dense two-dimensional electronic liquid of strongly correlated electrons. And then within this two dimensions, which I will refer as bulk, there exist these anions, excitations with fractional statistics. On the other hand, the two-dimensional bulk are used as a memory in the frame of topological quantum computation. In order to perform gates or do some operation on qubits, they use edge states, making that they make a hole in this fractional quantum Hall effect, and then the anions go along the edge. So in order to perform the operations, gates, we need one-dimensional anions. So that's my justification why I do, so I explain roughly what anions is and what's the use of these anions. So more formal definition. So here in this transparency, I use the language of quantum field theory. Quantum field theory. So psi is operator acting in the Fock space, which is like multi-dimensional. This is annihilation operator of anions in the space point x sub 1. And this is creation operator of another anion in another space point x sub 2. A stands for anion. So this is the accommodation relation. So kappa is a number. So it's a number which ranges from 0 to 1. And that's a parameter of statistics, meaning that if kappa equal to 0, then this is psi dagger psi minus psi dagger minus psi dagger psi. This is delta is a Dirac delta function. For kappa equal to 0, this is normal, standard, usual commutation relation of bosons. This is bosonic statistics. If kappa equal to 1, then this thing, exponent, is equal to minus 1. So I move it to the left, I get anti-commutation relation of creation and annihilation operators is delta function, Dirac delta function, so this is standard normal commutation relation for fermions. This is fermions. If chi is away from 0, 1, then this is something. So epsilon, by the way, the sine function, so meaning that it's equal to plus 1 for positive x and minus 1 for negative x. So it's in here. So pi is 3/14. So this is commutation relation which define one-dimensional anions. Also, two creation operator, usually they commute at different space points for bosons and anti-commute for fermions, but here for anions, the accommodation relation is somewhat non-trivial. If I change the position, I got an extra phase, x ii squared to minus 1, pi chi. So this is definition, a formal algebraic definition of one-dimensional anions. So somewhat different from two-dimensional anions. If you read the reviews on topological quantum computation, two-dimensional anions is topological, they're topological in nature. These are not topological, this is algebraic. This is just algebraic definition. Okay, so we kind of understand the definition of one-dimensional anions using the language of quantum field theory. Now, that's a Hamiltonian. Hamiltonian also written in terms of quantum field theory, but easy to translate it into the language of many-body quantum mechanics. So, first term is the square of momentum. The particle, it's non-relativistic particle, the energy is the square of momentum. So, derivative x dagger. If I just, next transparency is I translate everything into the language of many-body quantum mechanics, but this is usual kinetic energy, square of momentum. C is the coupling constant, and this is point light interaction. When two anions get together, then there is a change in energy. So, this is like delta function interaction, and C, the strength of this delta function, eventually in my transparency, the strength will be very, very strong. Strong repulsion, so will be impenetrable anions. This is chemical potential which helped me to change the density of anions, and eventually I will consider thermodynamic limit means many, many anions in the very, very large box. So this H usually denote, normal people denote this by mu, so this is chemical potential which helped me to change the density of anions. Also, I should mention that one of the important symmetries of elementary particle. In particle physics, people believe that interaction is invariant at the space parity. It means that if I change x to minus x, interaction shouldn't change. But here it's broken. Space parity is broken because of this statistics. Epsilon changed the sign, kappa go to minus kappa. So this fractional statistic actually break the space parity. So some new phenomena will come just because of the breaking of the symmetry. What is the main... This is just a model. There are other models. Well, the idea of this is that anions usually have an electric charge, so they interact with other anions. So the Coulomb interaction screen, like Debye screening, and the leftover interaction when they just jump on top of one another. This is like Hubbard model in metals. Normally, electrons in vacuum interact with the Coulomb potential, but it disappears inside of the inside of the metals because the conductance electron screen column. So this is justification like this. But this is the one model. There are other models of one-dimensional anions, but usually the models derive from the point of view of exact solution. So if you can say something about the model and it has some relation to anions, then usually it's like looking for something which you lost under the light, you know, a little bit like this. But okay, anyway. X in one dimension, yes. A is just a label. A is a label, stands for anions. X is just a label. It's not bosons, not fermions, it's anions, it's a label. Next transparency, I will change notation a little bit. So X, one dimensional coordinate, I denote by Z, and momenta, unfortunately, will be denoted by lambda. So anyway, this is the eigenfunction of that Hamiltonian. So first of all, there are some notations from Fock space, so we'll get rid of this very fastly. So this is Fock vacuum, meaning that it's annihilated by psi operators, annihilation. So instead of annihilating, I create several particles in several locations. So Z is coordinate, it was X in the previous transparency. So this is the particle, this is a configuration of particles of these anions which are located in the points Z1, Z2, Z3, Zn. Okay, then I take a linear combination of this. This is many-body wave function. This is normal wave function of many-body quantum mechanics. So this will be our main object. So this is translation of quantum field theory into many-body quantum mechanics. So psi is a wave function which will obey usual Schrodinger equation with second derivative, this is kinetic energy, and delta potential as interaction. So that's translation. Okay, so normally for bosonic particle, this many-body wave function should be symmetric fully under transposition of all of these z's. So if kappa equal to zero, then this relation says that it is symmetric. Kappa equal to one, this is anti-symmetry, and that's what's supposed to happen for fermions, so it's okay. But for anions, it's kind of a, there is extra phase when I change two positions. This is kind of a headache from a mathematical point of view, because usually in statistical mechanics and condensed matter, in models like this, we impose periodic boundary condition. Even to do that here, I have to do some non-trivial manipulations. So L is the length of the box with periodic boundary condition. Eventually, this length of the box will go to infinity. And N, number of particles, also go to infinity. The ratio N divided by L density will stay finite. Standard setup of condensed matter and statistical mechanics. So I impose periodic boundary condition using the first argument, D1. But then with respect to the second argument, there will be a little bit twist. The boundary condition will be a little bit twisted. The third will be more twist, and in relation, if I shift the last argument by L, it will be a larger shift. So that's a self-consistent way to impose periodic boundary condition for anyone, having in mind this, it's not fully symmetric or anti-symmetric, it's something. Anyway, so that's a formal setup. That's the answer. So this is the explicit expression for many-body wave function. This is eigenfunction of that Hamiltonian. So let me read this. So this is summation with respect to permutation group. Anyway, the whole sum here is a Slater determinant. So minus one raising power parity fermentation, this is exponent, this is space coordinate, which was x, lambda is momentum. Lambda is momentum, which normal people denote by p, okay, and this is with permutative index. So the whole sum is a determinant, Slater determinant. So it's like usual thing. This is like usual normal many-body wave function for free fermions, right? The whole sum is free fermionic many-body wave function, which is very familiar to us from the textbooks. Okay, so here epsilon is a sine function. Remember, so it changed the sign when two coordinates change the sign. So the determinant was fully anti-symmetric in all these. This thing is also anti-symmetric. So their product is actually the magnitude of the determinant. So if I just consider the sum multiplied by this product of epsilon, it's fully symmetric in all these. It does vanish when two z's coincide, but in principle it's fully symmetric. But then I have an extra factor, epsilon, the sine function, kappa statistical parameter. So it takes care of this non-trivial extra phase, which I interchange position of two z's, then this appears. So anyway, this is explicit expression for many-body wave function of n anions, which is eigenfunction of that Hamiltonian, infinite repulsion. All right. So periodic boundary condition looks like this. This is I squared of minus 1, lambda momentum, L the length of the box. For fermions, it should be equal to 1. For impenetrable bosons, kappa equal to 0. It was studied. The books being written about this for impenetrable bosons, I know from the literature that this exponent should be equal to minus 1 raised in the power number of particles minus 1. But for anions, there is extra phase. Kappa is parameter of statistics, n minus 1. So these anions look like fermions with twisted boundary conditions, but twist is very large, proportional to the length of the box. And this kind of brings some non-trivial features to dynamics. Also, there is some momentum in the ground state. Ground state can have quite exact zero momentum because this thing can be fractional. Okay. Anyway, so right now I have wave function, I know periodic boundary condition. I can consider the spectrum of the Hamiltonian, including thermodynamics. Thermodynamics, I can calculate free energy, I can calculate the energy, the density. And then what comes out of calculations is that thermodynamics does not depend on the parameter of statistics. So I use Fermi weight in order to formulate this 1 divided by 1 plus this exponent is square of momentum minus chemical potential divided by kT. Boltzmann constant is 1 here. So this is standard Fermi weight in order to calculate, to express density. Density is number of particles n divided by L. So it's equal to the integral with respect to lambda. Lambda is momentum. Energy is the square of momentum multiplied by this Fermi weight. I also can calculate entropy. Everything will look like free fermionic answer. This is exact free fermionic. But it's kind of a disappointment because I'm not considering free fermions. I'm considering anions. So I expect something to be dependent on statistics. It's not the case. For impenetrable bosons, it was known. Impenetrable bosons was solved long time ago, 1968. Thermodynamics was formulated by Yang and Yang, Chen Nin Yang, famous Nobel Prize winner, and he knew already. So for impenetrable bosons, the thermodynamics exactly coincide with free fermions. Now we extend this result to anions. But this is kind of a disappointment because in this fractional quantum Hall effect, it's very difficult to measure anything. I mean, the mathematical idea of topological quantum computation is beautiful, but actually to break this experimentally, need some guidance from theoreticians. So looking at the spectrum of thermodynamics, I cannot see these fractional statistics. I cannot measure this. I cannot figure it out. So I need to study something else. I need to consider transport and correlation functions. Those will be dependent on statistics. Do you still have any time? 20 minutes? Okay. So I will consider the correlation function. So this is formal definition of the correlation function. So in the Fock space, remember I started with using the language of quantum field theory. I take Fock space means that I take together all many-body states of these many anions, any number of anions stuck together in this Fock space. So denominator, I have this partition function. This is actually x Hamiltonian divided by temperature. This is partition function. So log of this is free energy. And if I know free energy, I can find out everything, thermodynamics, energy. Numerator, I have trace in that Fock space, exponent minus Hamiltonian, the same thing. And here, annihilation operator of anion at space point x. Actually, it's sorry, I switched notation back again. It was X, then it was Z, now it's X back again. This is still space coordinates, so I apologize for that. So creation operator in the X location of this anion. This is definition of correlation function at finite temperature. So what's good of these correlation functions? First of all, this is a standard object of condensed matter, statistical mechanics, quantum field T. But what's the use of it? There's two different uses of this. First of all, perturbation. If I take my original Hamiltonian and perturb it a little bit, then linear response to the perturbation can be described in terms of correlation functions. So they're useful to understand not only this model, but some other models a little bit around in the vicinity of this specific Hamiltonian. On the other hand, this thing also helped me to understand the transport, how anions will, like conductivity, resistivity of those H states in fractional quantum Hall effect. So my claim will be that this will depend on parameter statistics, so transport along the H will depend on fractional statistics, so it makes sense to measure to see the anionic effects for the transport, not the bulk free energy. Anyway, the calculation of this is pretty involved mathematical thing. Mathematics is mathematical analysis. It involved Fredholm determinants, Riemann-Hilbert problem. I will explain what it is. And the theory of classical completely integrable differential equation. What's completely integrable differential equation? Yesterday, we had a lecture about symmetries in many-body interaction. So remember, in Newtonian dynamics, when we studied Newtonian dynamics, we had these action angle variables. For some specific interaction, I can make canonical transformation to such a form that all momenta time independent and all coordinates linear function in X. So those are completely integrable models. But those was in Newtonian mechanics. If I have one particle in potential, then I always can do that. But if I have many, then sometimes I can do that, sometimes I can't do that. That's the difference between completely integrable model or exactly solvable and not solvable. So there is some differential equation which has a similar property. For example, Stein-Gordon, this differential equation, I will use them for the description of the correlation function. So those differential equations have Hamiltonian, and Hamiltonian, one can make canonical transformation to action angle variables. So there's many symmetries, many conservation laws, and there's so many that all the momenta conserved and all the coordinates linear function of time. So those are completely integrable, exactly solvable differential equation, which will appear as a way to describe this correlation function. Correlation functions are very complicated function of X in thermodynamic limit when I have many particles and the large length of the box. So it's transcendental function of X, meaning that I can't write some elementary function to describe this. I can write only short distance decomposition for small X and for large X. In between, I will write some differential equation of Fredholm determinant representation. So anyway, here we're stepping into mathematical analysis. Anyway, so let's do this. So now we go through some math. First of all, I do have some expression for the eigenfunction of the Hamiltonian, right? So in principle, I can plug it in and calculate this. I can do that, and this is very hard. I have to solve some problems of algebraic combinatorics, and result, I can write my correlation function determinant of some integral operator. Integral operator, this is like a 20-dimensional matrix. So matrices has the entries or matrix elements. Integral operator has a kernel. So that's the kernel of this integral operator. So E plus E minus is a plane wave, basically. This is what's Fermi wave. So this is actually relatively simple. Because, first of all, assume we forgot about this denominator. It's called Cauchy kernel. Forget about this. Then the numerator is kind of factorizable kernel. So if I would have an integral operator whose kernel is just numerator, then this will be equivalent to matrix 2 by 2. And then, of course, I can calculate the determinant of matrix 2 by 2. Everything would have been simple. Nevertheless, I do have this denominator. It's much more complicated. So now it's infinite dimensional. I can't really use this to find a dimensional matrix. But still, this integral operator has a lot of very special features. So in mathematical theory of mathematical analysis, this kind of integral operator is called completely integrable integral operators. What's so special about them? Well, for one thing, if I want to invert this operator, 1 minus gamma k. By the way, gamma is a parameter depending on statistics, so that will be the way later everything, asymptotics of correlation function will depend on gamma, and so we'll get dependence on statistics, so like watch for gamma. Anyway, if I want to invert this operator, identity minus gamma k, then inverse operator will look exactly like this, only I have to replace E by F. So what's F? F is not given very explicitly. In order to find F, I have to write down integral equation. So the same integral operator applied to F is equal to E, which I know explicitly. So this is something, not very explicit, but still some very special structure. Usually it's very difficult to invert integral operator. So I can invert this. That's nice. But now I want to go further. This theory of differential equations, completely integrable differential equations, are very developed subject, and they solve by some technique which is called inverse scattering problem. Inverse scattering problem is based on some integral equation which is called Gelfand-Levitan-Marchenko integral equation, and then this equation can be considered as this Gelfand-Levitan-Marchenko equation. So, meaning that looking at this integral equation, I can write some differential equation, nonlinear differential equation. So differential equation for what? For this potential, B. So B is defined like this. I take one of these functions, take one F, integrate with respect to lambda. Lambda was momentum long time ago, and get the B plus plus, B minus minus, something like that. So let's see. So looking at this, so first step, I took eigenfunctions of the Hamiltonian, integrated them, and got this determinant. Second of all, I can describe all of this by means of differential equation. So that's a differential equation. So I took one of the potential, and B is inverse temperature. So if I differentiate one of the potential with respect to inverse temperature, I got the function of another potential. Anyway, this is differential equation. Looks horrible. Still, those are completely integrable differential equations. Means the mathematician has their means of studying this. And completely describing all differential equations. So this is actually a good differential equation. What matters for us right now is that this differential equation doesn't have any parameter statistics any place. So differential equation actually looks like it's independent, same for bosons, fermions, and anions. Nevertheless, this differential equation has many solutions. In order to specify solution, I have to specify initial data. Initial data for small x, initial data does depend on the parameter of statistics. This gamma appears, gamma depends on statistics, so differential equation the same, but solution, the one which I'll have to pick up in order to describe correlation function, does depend on statistics. So there is some dependence, but very delicate. So let's push a little bit further this differential equation. If you remember my correlation function, then except of this B++, I also have determinant. So I wrote some differential equation for B++. How about determinant? It comes out that I will be able to write some differential equation for log of this determinant. So let's see how it works. This was my differential equation for P. Now, so log of determinant denoted by sigma. This is just notation, letter. Looking at this determinant, I can differentiate it with respect to space coordinate. This is space separation in the expression for the correlation function. And this is temperature. And those derivatives expressed in terms of B plus plus, B minus minus, for which I already have differential equation. So I can combine this expression with the differential equation of the previous transparency and got closed differential equation for the log of the determinant. Looks horrible, highly nonlinear because the term with the highest derivative squared. Still, it's completely integrable. So there is canonical transformation to action angle variable, and there is developed mathematical methods to describe solution of this equation, which I'll mention a little bit further. So the same thing happened in this differential equation. All the coefficients seems to be independent of statistics, like 4, x, there is no gamma, no kappa. But once again, this differential equation has many solutions. In order to specify solution, I need those initial data, let's say for small x, and behavior for small x depend on the parameter of statistics. So the specific solution of the differential equation does depend on the parameter of statistics. Also, the coefficients of the differential equation does not. All right. So those differential equations, they describe correlation function, which is space-dependent and temperature-dependent. Sometimes I don't want to know about the temperature. Sometimes I want to consider zero temperature. The differential equation from the previous equation was so nice that it withstand the limit of zero temperature. For zero temperature, I can somehow deform that equation into ODE, ordinary differential equation. So sigma is still log of the determinant. This Z is a rescaled distance. And this is simply differential equation because it's ODE, ordinary differential equation. I have only one variable. And this is actually a very, very famous differential equation. It was discovered by French prime minister like 100 years ago, Penleven. 5, and there is like books and books, and there is mathematicians who are doing their whole career and getting awards studying Penn-Levy differential equation. So this is kind of a big celebration for us that we managed to describe correlation function by means of Penn-Levy differential equation. Once again, the differential equation doesn't depend on statistics, but the behavior for small distance, the specific solution of this equation does depend on initial data. So this is so much for differential equations. This differential equation, as I said, they're completely integrable, meaning that they can be analyzed. The modern way to analyze is the Riemann-Hilbert problem. What's the Riemann-Hilbert problem? It comes with the German-French competition of 18th century. So French discovered analytical function, which was very nice. But then Germans have to improve it somehow. So the idea was to introduce this Riemann problem, Riemann-Hilbert problem. So what's the Riemann-Hilbert problem? I can see the function of a complex variable. But it's not quite analytic. It's analytical in the upper half plane, in the lower half plane, and there is some prescribed jump across real axis. I'm given a jump, and I'm asked to restore the whole function, which is analytical upstairs, downstairs, with prescribed jump. This is Riemann-Hilbert problem. So that was kind of a German development comparing to French. In the way I describe it, it can be solved exactly. Some analytical function, some exponent integral of the log of this jump gives to me the expression for the function which is analytical upstairs and downstairs. Less trivial situation when I have a matrix problem, when kappa is analytical matrix. With lambda, by now, we should think that this is z in the sense this is complex variable. So I will study analytical properties of chi. Chi is matrix 2 by 2 by now. And it is analytical upper half plane, lower half plane, but there is a jump, prescribed jump across the real axis. There is a jump. So this is a limit from below, from the lower half plane on the real axis. This is limit from above, from the upper half plane. And this is some fixed jump function which is defined only on the real axis. That's a conjugation matrix or the jump matrix. Simple matrix. This is one, Gamma parameter statistic, and E plus minus are those plane waves with a square root of Fermi wave. So we know this, and we're supposed to find kappa, which is analytical upstairs and downstairs. This is Riemann-Hilbert problem for matrices. It cannot solve, there is no explicit analytical expression for the solution. Mathematicians study this, uniqueness, existence, and prove some kind of theorems. There is an evident problem with uniqueness, because assume I will find analytical function which is analytical upper, analytic matrix function, which is analytical in the upper half plane, lower half plane, and have this prescribed jump. Then what I can do, I can take this function, multiply by lambda square, or some kind of polynomial of lambda. Still will be analytical upstairs, downstairs, and still this is multiplicative solution, still will satisfy the same jump solution. So I should kill this arbitrariness somehow. And the standard way is to require that this matrix function at the infinite value of lambda should be identical matrix by 2. Then I can't multiply by polynomial anymore. So this is kind of normalization, which is standard for Riemann-Hilbert problem. Anyway, this Riemann-Hilbert problem is formulated in terms of the same function which appeared in my determinant representation. And the determinant was good. It was useful because it described my correlation function. So in principle, this is useful because if I will solve it and consider large value of this argument, this complex parameter, complex variable lambda, at very large values of complex parameter, kappa approaches 1, identical matrix 2 by 2, and the first correction give me those potentials, b plus plus, b minus minus. And I really want them because if I know those b plus plus, b minus minus, I can restore my correlation function. So that's a modern way actually to solve those nonlinear differential equations which were mentioned in the previous transparency, so Riemann-Hilbert problem. So I solve them, and then out of solutions, I can calculate asymptotics of correlation functions. So this is anionic correlation function which was introduced some time ago. For small distance, I mentioned asymptotics. Asymptotic is a Taylor series. For small distance, x is small, this is Taylor series. Nothing happens. The x equal to 0, this is density, and divided by L, and then some linear term of x squared, and so on. For large distance, it's non-trivial. I have to solve those Riemann-Hilbert problems, so something came out. So this correlation function decays exponentially as a function of distance. The rate of this exponential decay does depend on the temperature, T, and this BP is also 1 over by T. And C is this integral, and also depends on the parameter statistics. So this is actually, I was looking for this. So finally, I find the object correlation function, which does depend on fractional statistics. This actually is what's under log. This is actually a very simple and natural thing. Numerator, this is inverse Fermi weight, and denominator, this is actually can be interpreted as a Fermi weight for anions. So it's not Fermi weight, it's anionic weight. So something which I use instead of the Fermi weight for anions. So this is expression. There is some oscillations and asymptotical behavior. Still looks complicated. How about small temperature? Maybe everything will simplify in the small temperature. Small temperature, usually there is simplifications in condensed matter. One can apply Lattice to liquid, come from field theory, so I expect that those complicated integrals for small temperature will simplify somewhat. And it does. So for small temperatures, correlation functions still decay exponentially, but the rate of exponential decay, linear function of temperature, that's because the temperature is small. So those my complicated integral turn into the linear function of temperature. Still, there is a factor which explicitly depends on the statistics. So it's different for anions and for bosons, for fermions. And even there is different analytical formulas for the rate of this exponential decay, depending on whether parameter statistics is smaller than 2/3 or larger than 2/3. These formulas, by the way, can be reproduced by conformal field theory, which is much easier, much simpler mathematical apparatus comparing to the one which I am describing. So those formulas can be, there's a simpler way to derive this. Now, what we can do, interesting thing to consider is time, temperature, and space-dependent correlation function. All of this technique which I explained also applicable. So I can integrate my wave function, write determinant representation for correlation function, solve Riemann-Hilbert problem, write differential equation, and consider asymptotics. So this is asymptotics of anionic wave function. Find a temperature, some time separation, some space separation. The main factor in the expression of asymptotics is this exponent of this integral. The log is actually negative. I mean, the expression under the log does depend on statistics, depend on the temperature, and this is a value which is smaller than 1, so log is negative. So it means that correlation functions decay exponentially with respect to space separation and time separation. By the way, lambda is momentum, right? So meaning that this is V. So instead of Fermi velocity, here I got a velocity at the current value of momenta, and I integrate with respect to momenta. So it's kind of generalization of some answers known to condensed matter physics. This is just our main result. At small temperatures, it simplifies again and agrees with conformal field theory. On the other hand, most important thing, I'm coming to the end of my lecture. So what's all it is about. So topological quantum computation, consider fractional quantum Hall effect. The bulk anions in fractional quantum Hall effect use as a memory storage in topological quantum computation. In order to perform the gate, I need edge states, which is one-dimensional anions. One-dimensional anions, I consider a model, just one model. In this model, kind of difficult to predict experimental consequences of these fractional statistics. So spectrum, free energy doesn't depend on parameter statistics. I have to consider transport, and transport, which described in terms of this correlation function, it does depend on fractional statistics. So that's the main result, and that's the end of the lecture.